History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a true crime roundup from the On Deadline podcast. We explore crime stories reported on by Odyssey's radio newsrooms across the country. I'm your host, Lauren Berry. First, we have updates on several crimes across the nation. We'll start today with crimes reported on by Odyssey station KYW News Radio in Philadelphia. This first report is from Tuesday, July 14th.
A 14-year-old is in custody accused of luring, robbing, and killing a pizza delivery driver last month in North Philadelphia. As KYW's crime and justice reporter Kristen Johansson tells us, a second suspect has not yet been identified.
14-year-old St. Cyr Camps faces murder, robbery, and related charges connected to the shooting death of Ansel Kuncha. The killing happened on June 5th. An order was placed for Pete's Pizza on Ridge Avenue to an address at 23rd and Edgeley Streets to a vacant home inside a Philadelphia Housing Authority complex. Investigators say 20-year-old Kuncha was delivering the food when the two suspects seen on video approached him and he put his hands up to show he didn't have anything. Detectives believe that's when he was killed, shot in the back of the head. Officials say the food was found untouched at the abandoned home. There's at least one other person the authorities have not yet identified but believe was involved. Kuncha was from India and was in the U.S. for school, staying with his uncle and working as a delivery driver on the side. Kristen Johansson, KYW News Radio 103.9 FM.
This KYW report is from Friday, July 17th.
A federal judge peppered a top lawyer within the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office with questions about how he handles federal cases where a defendant is asking for their conviction to be overturned. Here's KYW crime and justice reporter Kristen Johansson.
Judge Paul Diamond called the hearing because the DA's office first sided with the defendant that his 2009 murder conviction should be overturned, and then they later recanted, and he's trying to figure out what happened. The first to testify was the DA who handled that federal appeal, Jacqueline Mason, who said she was a pawn used to carry out what her boss, Matt Stiegler, wanted her to do. She said they met with the Innocence Project and the federal defenders and, in her words, colluded to figure out how to overturn the defendant's conviction, and that Stiegler, who has worked as a federal defender, told her that if it was good enough for the Innocence Project, it was good enough for him. She also said that she was never directed to investigate any of the claims, but when Stiegler testified, he told the court he thought she reviewed the file. The judge peppered Stiegler with questions and seemed stunned when he testified that the unit does not independently investigate the appeal claims. The judge also asked him if he believed in the adversarial system of justice, meaning two sides and the judge or jury decide which side wins. Stiegler repeatedly said he viewed his role as making accurate decisions. There are still four others who need to testify, but they will be brought back on another date not yet set. Outside the federal courthouse, Kristen Johansson, KYW News Radio 103.9 FM.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KYW also reported on two stabbing incidents this week. Here's one.
Well, police in South Jersey are looking for who stabbed a woman to death at a home in Lindenwald Thursday. Detectives from the Camden County Prosecutor's Office responded to a stabbing along Bilber Avenue near Crowland Avenue around 11:40 in the morning. They found a 53-year-old woman stabbed multiple times. She was taken to the hospital where she died later. Police have no suspects yet or haven't announced any, and they're asking anyone with information to contact the Camden County Prosecutor's Office or Lindenwald Police Department.
And here's the KYW report on that other stabbing incident.
SEPTA says a fight on a bus in North Philly led to a stabbing that sent a man to the hospital. Our partners at NBC 10 says a SEPTA spokesperson says it happened around 3:30 this afternoon near Germantown and Lehigh Avenues. They say it was on the Route 54 bus where the altercation escalated, leading to a man getting wounds to the neck, arm, and face. He got off the bus after the stabbing and went to the hospital. The incident is under investigation. So far, no arrests.
In St. Louis, Odyssey station KMOX reported on a teen facing murder charges.
A 16-year-old now facing murder charges as an adult after a weekend shooting rampage in East St. Louis. Prosecutors have indicted Jamir Davis on a dozen counts after a string of shootings across three separate crime scenes left five people dead and two others wounded. A 15-year-old also in custody. Pastor Mary Young knows some of the people involved. She spoke with Fox 2.
People, please, train up your children. I know they've been trained good. You know, but a lot of times they get influenced by other children or whatever the case may be. This should not be.
We're told prosecutors are pushing to move that second teen to adult court as well. Police have not yet released a motive. We're awaiting more details from St. Louis City Police on an overnight homicide case in the Kingsway West neighborhood. Officers say a man was shot dead outside a gas station in the 1600 block of Union Boulevard just prior to 4 this morning. That's north of Martin Luther King Drive. Lots of evidence markers could be seen around a white Toyota vehicle.
In Minnesota, where Vance Belter pleaded guilty to murdering a former lawmaker and her husband and attacking others, Odyssey station WCCO News Talk provided an update on a woman who threatened another state politician.
A September 10th sentencing date has been set for a Hugo woman who threatened Minnesota House Speaker and Republican gubernatorial candidate Lisa Daymuth. 43-year-old Rachel Welsh pleaded guilty to threats of violence, leaving a series of threatening voicemails for Daymuth in January and February, including messages that suggested she was learning to shoot and, quote, was getting really good. A judge granted an extreme risk protection order in the case, which temporarily suspends Welsh's ability to purchase or possess firearms.
Another case with an update this week is the Tanner Horner murder case out of Texas. Here's Odyssey station KRLD in Dallas with the latest.
Yeah, I know you remember the North Texas FedEx driver convicted of murder, sentenced to death earlier this year. Now his attorneys are asking for a new trial. Tanner Horner convicted of capital murder for the murder of 7-year-old Athena Strand. She was taken from a home in Paradise, Texas back in 2022. Horner's attorneys now claim that the sentencing phase of the trial was not fair because of all the publicity surrounding the case. They also claim some defense witnesses declined to testify because they had been harassed.
KRLD also had an update on the Carmelo Anthony case this week.
Story attorneys for a 19-year-old who killed a fellow high school athlete in Frisco last year. They're asking for a new trial.
A jury didn't buy the argument that Carmelo Anthony was acting in self-defense when he stabbed Austin Metcalf to death during a rain delay in a track meet. It convicted him and sentenced him to 35 years in prison. Anthony has a new team of lawyers who claim misconduct by prosecutors during the trial and by the judge afterward. Those attorneys have asked for a new trial and a new judge to preside over it.
It's ABC's Jim Ryan. And their problem with the judge, that stems from a comment he made after the trial.
Judge John Roach Jr. was interviewed by Dallas ABC affiliate WFAA. Asked whether the jury got it right, Roach said it did.
That's the process, and whatever they say, they get it right.
Carmelo Anthony's attorneys say the comment calls Roach's impartiality into question.
I talked to a defense attorney about this, and he said this is going to go nowhere fast.
This is a Hail Mary.
And by the way, this happens on a lot of murder trials. They always ask, there's an appeal, and then they ask for a new trial, so it's not really indifferent. And they're going to pick anything that they can zero in on.
Just in general, the Court of Criminal Appeals in Texas, it's very rare that they overturn a conviction.
Yeah. And what the judge was saying was basically, look, this is the process. Right. The jury heard the evidence, and they made a decision.
That's exactly, it's what he was saying. I don't know that he was...
Mike Rogers and Austin York of KRLD's Mid-Morning Mic Check also discussed the recent fatal Immigration and Customs Enforcement incident in Houston. Since the start of the year, federal agents, including ICE agents, have reportedly been responsible for multiple deaths, including the ICE killing of American citizen Renee Good and the killing of Alex Preti, both in Minnesota.
Interesting twist to the shooting death of a Mexican national in Houston by ICE.
The Department of Homeland Security admitting the man shot and killed by ICE in Houston Tuesday was not the intended target of their investigation. In a statement, a DHS official now saying 52-year-old Lorenzo Salgado Araujo, a husband and father of three, was stopped by ICE because he resembled the target of an investigation, causing officers to stop his van. Salgado Araujo was then shot in the abdomen by an ICE officer. The agency claiming the officer acted in self-defense.
They say that he wasn't following orders and that he tried to run over an ICE officer. However,
the Washington Post now reporting migrants who were in the car with Salgado Araujo, through statements given to their lawyer, dispute key parts of ICE's narrative. One writing, it is impossible for them to say that they were going to get run over. There were no officers in front of or behind the vehicle. They were on the sides.
So they're two completely different stories. And if there's any video out there, I guess we're going to find out soon enough.
The shooting sending shockwaves through Houston. Salgado Araujo, an undocumented immigrant living in the U.S. for 35 years, was close to obtaining legal immigration status, his son said.
Undocumented migrants are humans.
They're demanding an independent investigation.
ABC's Jay O'Brien. This is what I was saying yesterday. No matter which side of this you're on, wait until all the facts come in.
Absolutely.
Right?
And, I mentioned this yesterday with Eddie Garcia, who used to be the Dallas police chief, now over at Fort Worth. He always said you should praise officers when they do well, but hold them accountable. Hold the department accountable when they make a mistake. And if that's the case, that's what you have to do here. Be transparent. I guess officials in ICE officials in Houston are holding a press conference right now to discuss this case. So we'll bring you any kind of updates that they say.
Odyssey station KCBS Radio in the Bay Area reported that President Donald Trump's administration ordered ICE to halt most vehicle stop operations after two recent enforcement actions ended in fatal shootings. Professor of Immigration Law and Policy at the University of San Francisco, Bill Hing, joined the station to discuss the issue with Margie Schaefer.
This is a significant policy shift for ICE. What does suspending most vehicle stops tell you about what the administration's concerns are?
Well, I think that they are understanding that the public and other leaders, political leaders around the country are in disbelief that these policies of vehicle pursuits have been allowed to continue because they've ended in such tragedy. One in Minneapolis, and which we all, that was Renee Good, and then the gentleman in Houston last week, and now this one in Maine a day or two ago, that it tells us that they are capable of responding to reasonable pressure to at least temporarily cease the procedure that's led to these deaths.
The administration says it's a temporary pause while agents receive additional training. What would that training be?
That's a really good question, Margie, because I was on the San Francisco Police Commission for a couple of years, and I'm familiar with the policies dealing with vehicle pursuits locally and at the state level and in other jurisdictions. And the long and short of it is that you're not supposed to engage in vehicle pursuits because the pursuit itself can become deadly. And so the kind of training they need, which apparently they haven't had, is when is it proper to engage and when is it a better idea to disengage, because otherwise you might endanger innocent bystanders. Now in this situation, what's interesting is in both Houston and Maine, they acknowledge that the people that ended up being shot were not the original targets of their pursuit. And so that tells us even more that they've got to have better training on, listen, if you're after somebody who's a criminal or somebody who's has not shown up at their deportation hearings and might be dangerous, that's one thing. But if you can't find them, it doesn't give you the excuse to continue pursuing someone who you don't even know who it is.
That's right. I mean, this has been especially tragic. Can you talk about, you know, the authority that ICE has, well, at least had and may have again, to stop a vehicle during immigration enforcement versus how it's different from a routine traffic stop conducted by police?
Great question. As we all know, and many of us have experienced, when we are when we violated a traffic code, run a stop sign or not stop, that kind of thing, and it's in plain view, the police can stop us from doing that, or if we're driving erratically, that's a reasonable thing. Now, ICE officials can also stop people for traffic violations, which is a very controversial thing, but they claim that they can stop people for traffic violations, and that isn't what happened in this situation. But other than that, they are limited to the Constitution. The Constitution says they can only pursue someone if they have reasonable suspicion that the person is undocumented or deportable. And so if they have a license plate of somebody that they know is deportable, who has been convicted of a crime, they can probably go after that car. But if they don't, they don't have the authority to do that. So in summary, they can't go after someone just because, oh, that person looks, they're guessing that that person's undocumented, because that just isn't, that's not sustainable. You can't racially profile somebody and get away with it.
Thank you so much for listening to this True Crime Roundup from the On Deadline podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to WCCO News and Talk in the Twin Cities, KYW News Radio in Philadelphia, KRLD 1080 in Dallas, KCBS Radio in the Bay Area, The Dana and Parks Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City, and both Scoot and Tommy Tucker out of WWL in New Orleans. You can find these programs on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. You can find these True Crime Roundups by subscribing to the On Deadline podcast, the Who Killed Strawberry podcast, or the Bitter Academia podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.